Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll get my gavel out, make it official.
One second. It's not showing it. Oh, it has started now. Just a little slow on the delay.
Yeah. No problem. We'll do it again. Here we go. And good morning. I'm going to go ahead and call this session of the Island County Hearing Examiner to order. For the record, today is October 25th, 2022 at 10 a.m. We have one item on the agenda this morning. This is number COV-19/002-COF-375/19, also known as number APP-229/22. And this involves an appeal by John and Cindy Wagner of a supplemental enforcement order, or SEO, that was issued by Island County on August 17th of this year. And ultimately, the SEO alleges that the appellant failed to comply with an earlier enforcement order that was issued on March 14th of 2022, and it alleges that there have been violations of the county's flood damage prevention ordinance, and the IEO had ordered the appellant to bring their property into compliance with the ordinance and to allow inspection of the property. My name is Andrew Reeves. I'm a hearing examiner with Sound Law Center. The county has elected to hold certain hearings like this one, and today it will be my role to collect evidence in the form of exhibits and testimony to determine, in this case, whether the county has met its burden of showing by a preponderance of the evidence that the violation has indeed occurred. To that end, all testimony today will be under oath or affirmation. That's because my decision to ultimately be appealed. The recording of today's hearing, as well as the admitted exhibits and my decision, would serve as the foundation for any such appeal. In advance of the hearing today, my office did issue a pre-hearing order that essentially told the parties sort of the process that would occur and asked that certain documents and witness lists be exchanged in advance of the hearing, which did occur. So we sort of have an idea of what the universe of materials is, and we'll talk about that in just a sec. But essentially, as identified in the pre-hearing order, the county will present its information first, and the appellant, Mr. Wagner, you will have an opportunity to ask cross-examining questions of any witnesses that testify on behalf of the county. And then after we've heard from the county's witnesses, you'll have an opportunity, Mr. Wagner, to present your evidence and information, and the county would also have an opportunity to cross-examine, as it were, your witnesses. Neither side, I believe, is represented by counsel today, and I will do my best to sort of help as I can. I certainly can't provide legal advice, and I'm not on anyone's team, as it were. I am an independent party that has been, appointed by the county to hold these matters. I'm not a county employee. I just want that to be clear as well. And my goal is essentially, after all this is done, to produce a decision that is hopefully clear as to what the next steps are and legally defensible. So that's the basics. Just to start, if we could have folks introduce themselves, I'll start with you, Mr. Wagner, because I can see you in the screen there.
I'm John Wagner. This is my wife, Cindy. We live at 256 Driftwood Shores here on Camino Island.
Thank you so much for being here. And then for the county?
Mary Eagle, Island County Planning Director.
Okay. Okay, Ms. Engel, are you ready to begin?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so I'm gonna get you sworn in. I can't see you, but I assume that you're raising your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
I do.
And if you could just state and spell your name for the audio recording.
Yes, my name is Mary Engel, spelled M-A-R-Y, last name E-N-G-L-E.
Thank you, Ms. Engel. And then in terms of the exhibits that you had provided in advance of the hearing, do you want to tell me sort of what those were and explain what they are?
Sure. So I'll do them in order. Exhibit C-1 was an original letter from March 13th of 2014 from FEMA directed to the county and county commissioners, and it was about their visit and the properties that they found out of compliance. This was what started this whole entire FEMA situation. Exhibit C-2 is a timeline from 2017 to 2022 of interactions with the property after receiving the CAB letter from FEMA. Exhibit C-3 is March 14th, 2022, the initial enforcement order placed on Driftwood Shores. Exhibit C-4 is June 30th, 2022, email correspondence with invoice between the appellant and the county. Exhibit C-5 is August 3rd, 2020, the county reaching back out to the appellant, asking for progress and what's an update on what's happening with the property. Exhibit C-6, August 16th of 2022, was the response from the appellant. Exhibit C-7 on August 17th of 2022 was the supplemental enforcement order. And then Exhibit C-8 is the final timeline to current, showing what has transpired since. And it's also the same document that every Friday I update and send to FEMA.
Okay. And so what we normally do at the outset, Mr. Wagner, do you have any objection to any of these exhibits to the extent that you believe they aren't what they say they are, or you don't believe they're relevant? I understand you might believe the outcome should be different, or legally you don't have the same conclusion as the county, but is there any sort of reason you would have these excluded, again, sort of because you don't believe that they're valid for some reason? I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it in a non-lawyer way.
Here's what I would say about what she has just said. And that is that it appears to me that everything that has been uttered out of her mouth and in reference to this particular situation is after the fact.
And just to be clear, you'll have an opportunity, Mr. Wagner, to make your argument. I'm just asking whether the C-1 through C-8, the exhibits she just described, whether there is a reason you think I should not consider them as part of this proceeding. Is there some, you know, some reason you think that they don't apply, or they're not valid, or they aren't what they've been purported to be?
Sure that everything that she said, she has a valid reason for saying. I'm just saying that everything that she has brought to the table, from my perspective, is after the fact, and we'll go through that as right. We proceed.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and allow the exhibits into the record, and you will have an opportunity to argue why you think legally it doesn't ultimately mean what you would think it would mean. Does that make sense?
I understand.
Okay, and then just to be clear on exhibits, my understanding was you were just going to rely on the appeal, and then you have, I think, a signboard there. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. And so with that, Mary Engel, any objection to me allowing the exhibits that Mr. Wagner is going to rely on?
No objection.
Okay. So all we've done thus far is I'm allowing those exhibits in. And now at this point, we are going to hear from the county. And again, I will call on you when it is the appropriate opportunity to ask questions of Ms. Engel. And then after I've heard from the county witnesses, you'll have an opportunity to testify yourself and make the argument that you want to make, okay?
That's fine. Would you again repeat your name to me?
Sure. Andrew Reeves, R-E-E-V as in Victor, E-S.
And Mr. Reeves, what would be the appropriate way to address you? Are you your honor or...
Mr. Reeves is perfect. Technically, I'm a hearing examiner, but calling me Hearing Examiner Reeves is a mouthful. So Mr. Reeves is perfect.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I think with that, we can go ahead and get started. And so, Mary Engel, Will you be testifying yourself first and then asking others to testify? What is your sort of plan, as it were, in that respect?
I actually will be giving a recap and testifying, and we'll go over some of the exhibits. Otherwise, you have most of the details in front of you and have had time to review it. And I'm the only one who will be testifying.
Okay, great. So with that, then, I'll allow you to proceed, and, you know, I'll have to ultimately sort out what is being referenced as factual statements versus arguments, and I'm confident I'll be able to do it. It's always a little challenging when folks are wearing multiple hats, but it's not my first rodeo. I'm confident I'll be able to figure it out. So with that, Mary Engel, go ahead with the county's case.
So I'll start with Exhibit C-1 that was received by the county, our Board of County Commissioners, on March 13th of 2014. So let me make a point that I was not an employee of the Planning Department or an employee of the Commissioners at this point. I actually came into this position in the fall of 2020, and one of my first jobs that I was asked to do was to actually clean up what had happened in 2013 and had still not been resolved for FEMA. So this March 13th of 2014 CAV letter actually explains what FEMA did. They came and did a site visit. They actually requested documents from the planning department. They requested flood elevation certificates, and basically what they did was an audit. And in this report, this letter of March 13th, 2014, you can actually see the final list they came up with of about 130 properties that they felt did not meet the current compliance of FEMA. And they then asked the county to do some more research and provide some more documentation. So that's the first exhibit, C1, that kind of brings us to the beginning of this whole situation with FEMA. Then staff in the office started to provide FEMA with updates. And as you can see from C-2, that's that timeline. That's showing everything that occurred on this specific property from 2017 through 2022. And that timeline gives you at the top of the document the correction that FEMA noted on this property. In final, what they found was wrong and the things they wanted us to resolve with the homeowner. And then below that is a table that actually gives you the history with the dates on the right and everything that occurred from 2017 through 2022. And the last, and then at the very bottom, it just tells you about voluntary compliance timeline as well. So this was a document I felt was important to include in the record so you could see what actually had been occurring on the property during that time. Then we have C-3, which was the initial enforcement order. That's pretty direct and to the point. It tells you that basically we had to provide all of the property owners with this to let them know that we had concerns that currently their property was not in compliance. And in this document, we explain to them what needs to happen in order to not go on to the next step of enforcement. And our hope was in Island County was out of the properties that remained to get them all into compliance before August of 2022. And so that was the date we were put on probation till by FEMA. And we were given until that time to resolve all of these properties or suspension of the entire county could take place by FEMA. And then, as you can see, I'm not going to go through all of the rest, but as I noted in the very beginning, each of the other exhibits just provides for you some correspondence. We met with the Wagners in person, along with one of the commissioners. We talked about options. There was an opportunity at one point where the Wagners actually even went and got someone to give them a bid, and it looked like they were going to fix the problem in their crawl space in order to bring their property into compliance. And then in August of 16th of 2022, you can see that then they provide for us that they don't intend to do to use the contractor to complete the updating their property to compliance, and they then respond to me to let me know that, and I then immediately the next day have to send a supplement enforcement order, because at that point I only have till the end of the month to provide to FEMA that I have either brought all properties into compliance or have provided enforcement orders and started moving forward on enforcement on any of those who are not in compliance. And then the last one, as I explained, is the timeline to current, which just then gives you the most current information. And basically, it begins pretty much from the year of May of 22. And it just brings you through step by step of all the interaction we've had with them about the property up until October 7th of 22, when the hearing date was set. The important factor to understand, and the county's stand on this, is that that these properties need to be brought into compliance based on the information that FEMA provided to us, the areas they felt they were not in compliance, in order for us to not be put on suspension. And so basically the Wagner's property, the appellant's property, is one of the last remaining properties that we are trying to resolve and get into compliance, in order to not be put on suspension. And that's all I have, Mr. Reeves.
Okay, so question before I see if Mr. Wagner has questions, just a few for me. So ultimately, the and final sort of order that was sent, that was sent on in August. Is that right? August of this year?
What? I didn't hear what you said, sorry.
Okay, the last enforcement order, the what I believe is identified as Exhibit C7.
Yes.
The supplemental IEO, that was sent August 17th of this year. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's what they appealed, and that's why we're here today.
Right. Okay. So the appeal is of the supplemental. Okay, and so then ultimately the county's position, as it were, is that whether through any fault of the Wagners, FEMA identified their crawl space as being substandard not meeting code requirements. And so, again, whether it was their fault or not, it's the county's position that they need to fix it, period. Is that the stance?
Yeah, if it is not corrected and fixed and a new survey done and provided to FEMA to show that it's been completed, Island County will be put on suspension, and all property owners who need flood insurance will no longer be covered under the NFIP.
Well, sure. I understand that there's a massive threat being brought on the county by FEMA, but I think we've had similar instances in the past where the concern the property owner has is, you know, this, we didn't do this, this wasn't our fault, you know, the county never insisted when we built the property or whatnot, that this be fixed, you know. But it's the county's position that none of that really matters. Is that an accurate assessment?
So what I would say, and probably the question I'm surprised you haven't asked yet, is did this property receive final occupancy? And this one did. There are some in our FEMA cap that did not.
Okay, can you flesh that out for me?
So when a home is built and they go through their entire inspection process, in order to move into the home and actually live there, they have to have final occupancy. In order to sell it, they would need final occupancy. Out of all of the properties that we have, there were quite a few in this CAV audit that never did receive final occupancy, but people finished their homes and moved in anyways. This property is not one of those. They did receive final occupancy.
Yeah. And so at one point in the distant past, the county inspected this property and said, you know, this meets all of the requirements of the building code, et cetera, such that, you know, it's the type of structure one can occupy legally and later one can sell. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
That is correct. They received final occupancy so that they could move in.
Okay. Okay. So this is essentially identical to a previous situation that I addressed. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Well, Mr. Wagner, you are allowed cross-examination. So do you have any specific questions for Director Engel that are sort of meant to flesh out or further explain what she has testified to? And to be clear, this will be different than you making your argument. This is just your opportunity to ask clarifying questions of Director Engel as a witness in the proceeding.
I think the first question that I would ask of Ms. in the meeting that she was at and we had, and we discussed this, I didn't really understand how the county would be able, because everything was passed, I didn't understand how the county was going to be able to exercise this particular program. And in my recall, I even remember Mary saying that it was a county error. Is that right, Mary?
That's correct.
And that kind of leads me
you'll be able to make your argument, Mr. Wagner. I'm ready to hear it in a minute, but just the questions first, okay?
Thank you for helping me understand. No additional questions.
Okay. So with that, Mary Engel, any further testimony or other witnesses? I believe you said there would not be any other witnesses, but I just wanted to check.
There are none. I'm done.
Great. Thank you very much. So with that, Mr. Wagner, I'm going to turn to you now, and I'm going to swear you in, because when moving forward, you'll be a witness as well. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth in the testimony you give here today?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And if you could just state and spell your name for the audio.
John, J-O-H-N, Wagoner, W-A-G-O-N-E-R.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. So now is your opportunity, and essentially, as with Director Engel, I'll do my best to figure out what is testimony versus argument, but now is definitely your chance. And do you intend, at the outset, do you intend on calling on anyone else?
No one else.
Okay, then here, go right ahead, sir.
I just want to make sure, because if she's going to speak, she would have to be sworn. Okay. Just want to make sure.
Okay. Is this something that you can see?
If you move it to your right. Okay. Somewhat. Why don't you tell me what it is, for one?
All right. This is the sign that the county gave me after we applied to do our building project. It's called Notice of Application. Now, this was to be posted on the property for 2 weeks before everything else could be approved. And it was my understanding that this gave people the opportunity to question whether or not it should be done. And This was put together by Brad Johnson, a county employee, and the date of the notice was August 9th, 2011. And that's just simply what I want to point out. The submitted comments had to be in by the August 23rd, so there was a two-week period there. Now, I'm just going to put this down here for a minute. To the best of my knowledge, Mr. Reeves, there were no comments that were made. There was nothing that was submitted, and so the permit was issued. Now, I'm under the impression that the permit to build a house lasts for 18 months. I also am aware that if you build without a permit, or fail to get a final inspection, actions can be taken against you. The Wagoners paid for the permit. The permit was issued. It was granted that the county approved of our project. We got the green light to go ahead. We got the county's consent to proceed. And they gave us the stamp of approval. They did tell us that they would be subject to certain inspections. If there were no inspections, or if there were no problems with the inspections, then all was good. The residence was constructed by the guidelines enforced by Island County. And at that point, all was good. Then in December of 2019, 8 years later, a document arrived in the mail from Island County expressing a need for what the document called deficiency resolution. Now, so all was good, and then suddenly it was reversed. Whoops. Change in plans. All is good became all was good. And now it turns out that the county will fine you and threaten to confiscate your property because the rules had changed. Somebody caused the rules to change after the fact, after the permit was issued, after the house was completed, after everything had been approved. Nobody told the county building employees that the rules would be changed. So they did their job based on the rules of the day from 2011. Nobody told the residents of the county that the rules would be changed years later. Yet the county is now charging the responsibility for the change to be the burden of the residents. And it appears that the county is going to fine the residents and try and confiscate their property if they do not agree to be complicit in the county's wrongdoings. As I had the opportunity to review this, I reflected on county government. I'm in favor of good county government. Without good county government, we would have chaos. And I reflected on the words of the Pledge of Allegiance, where it refers to our county as a republic. And yet the county is giving me the impression that they prefer to be dictators. All these things that have been presented by the county today are after the fact, after the permit was issued, after the house was built, after the final inspection and the permission to occupy. The county employees made their decisions and enforcements on the rule of the day, not the rule of the future. Because they were not yet informed that the rules of the future should have been the rules of their day in 2011. So the employees of the county did what they were supposed to do, and all was good. Now, I have tried to explain this concept to our county leaders in a meeting that we had, but that just fell on deaf ears because they were only interested in what they were pursuing. The Wagoners built with permit, with Island County approval. They paid for the professional expertise from county employees. Both the Wagoners and the county employees followed the rules of the day. Years later, the rules changed, and certain county leaders are attempting to create a condition to make Island County residents responsible to be compliant in county incorrect action. This action, in my opinion, is irresponsible for good government. Now, if the county wants to continue to pursue this, I have a solution for them, and we can talk. But it must be in a dignified manner, not in a commanding manner. And we'll go one step further, because FEMA is involved in this. At the time that the building was completed, the Wagoners had a mortgage. And the mortgage, because of where the property was, included flood insurance. It had to be applied in order for the mortgagee to be satisfied. I applied for flood insurance with FEMA. FEMA came to the house. They went under the house, looked all around the property, and found just one problem. That one problem was, they told me I had to have 128 square inches of open space in the gates, I suppose for water to get in under the house if there was a flood. There was the fellow that came and did the inspection was in the bottom of the house and in the belly of the house. There was absolutely no question whatsoever about the amount of airspace in the cavity below the house. I made the correction on the gates, and he came back 2 weeks later and passed everything off, and the policy was issued. Now, even when we sat in a meeting with Mary, and Dustin, I think, was there also, Mary and Dustin both openly admitted it was a county error. And yet the county is trying, in my opinion, to force the residents of the county to be responsible for the county error. They have not addressed that issue with me to the point of where I understand it. And that's why we're here today. Now, again, I appreciate good county government. But I am appalled at what the county is trying to do and threatens to do, because they are attempting to request action after the fact. And that's all I have for now.
Thank you, Mr. Wagner. A couple of questions from me real quick. The flood insurance policy and when FEMA came to do that inspection for the mortgage and to get the flood insurance.
Yeah.
When was that approximately?
That would have been right after the final inspection.
So in 2011 or 2012, somewhere around then?
Right. I attempted to contact, I did contact the mortgage company, BECU, and tried to get the policy number, but they have not been able to locate that. But it did exist. Their qualification was taken care of.
Sure. I guess I'm just, so the original permit was somewhere in 2011, right? So would this have been in 2012 or so that this happened?
Would have been in 2012.
Okay. And then do you still have flood insurance on the property at this point?
I did not have flood insurance. When the mortgage was taken care of, Wagoners made a decision that they would become self-insured.
Got it. Okay.
And we have no intention of securing FEMA flood insurance.
That was my next question. So essentially, if I were to find in your favor, to the extent that I say, you know, I don't believe it's your responsibility to make this fix, you understand that your property would then need to be classified as being ineligible for flood insurance from FEMA. You would essentially be excluded from the county's policy. Do you understand and you accept that if that were to be the case?
I totally understand that. And I have no intention at this point of securing flood insurance.
Okay.
Now, the property was originally purchased back in the 1950s by Cindy's parents, and they built a summer house on there. That's what we had demolished when we decided to retire and move to the property and build a full year-round residence. That property will ultimately be inherited by Cindy's children. Cindy and I are widowed and remarried. We just celebrated our 31st wedding anniversary.
Hey, congrats.
Now, so the property will go to Cindy's children. Yeah, I cannot even suggest that they would or they wouldn't want flood insurance. That's really going to be ultimately up to them. But they will understand that there may be some changes they have to make in the event that they decide to have flood insurance through the FEMA program.
Got it. And one more question, you know, if the county said, you know, we messed up back in the day, it was our mistake, mea culpa, would you, the Wagners, let us go fix the problem at our own cost? Is that something you'd be amenable to, yes or no? I just am curious.
I am open to further communication with the county.
Okay.
Very definitely. They can come and visit with me. But I want it done, Mr. Reeves, on a professional foundation, not on a threatening foundation. You have no idea what this has done to my wife, to have to be faced with this as a consequence. This was her parents' property, passed on to her, and will be passed on to other people in the family.
Certainly. And I understand it's a stressful situation. You know, I'm not trying to absolve county leadership in any way, shape, or form. I know on their end, they inherited a very stressful situation of FEMA essentially telling them, you got to do these things, and if you don't, there's millions and millions of dollars of consequence. Like I said, maybe the way it all has happened could have been different, you know. So I think it's been stressful all around, and I don't want to make light of, obviously, the amount of stress it's causing individual homeowners. I just, you know, it's certainly challenging in terms of when you have a lot of turnover in government, you know, whatever you inherited from others, you know, I will say I believe Director Engel, you know, inherited a difficult situation. That much I think we can admit. So, okay, with that, I'm going to see Director Engel. Do you have specific questions in terms of Mr. Wagner as a witness?
Yes, I just have two.
Okay.
So the first one is, I believe I heard you correctly, but just want to make sure. You currently have no mortgage nor a need for flood insurance on the property.
Absolutely correct.
Thank you. And then the second one is, and I think I heard you kind of say what you think, but I'd like to be a little bit more. Do you have any concerns if this property remains as it is currently out of compliance and your inheritors receive the property still out of compliance and are unable to then get flood insurance? Do you have any concerns about that?
I don't have any concerns about that.
Okay.
If they want to bring it up to whatever the code is, you know, in the next 20 years, the code may change again. And I fully understand that if they want to get flood insurance, it'll have to be in compliance with what FEMA requires at the time.
Okay. And then I do have one more question because of what I just heard him say.
Okay.
It's actually kind of a statement, so I need to think of how to word it in a question. You stated just now that you believe the FEMA rules have changed. Is that correct?
In consideration of the fact that FEMA visited the property, went under the house, made no comment at all about the amount of airspace under the house, and now there is a problem with that, something changed somewhere. That's all I can say to answer that question.
Okay, then can I ask one more? That brings up one more question.
Sure.
Sorry. Is that okay, Mr. Reeves? He's frozen, I think.
No, I'll allow it.
It froze for a minute, so I was worried maybe we lost you. Okay. You've mentioned a couple times that in 2012, when you moved in or were getting ready to move in, you needed flood insurance at that time because at that point you did have a mortgage. And based on the location of the property, you needed flood insurance. And you keep stating that FEMA came to visit. In most cases, I don't think FEMA comes for your insurance. So are you sure it was a FEMA person and not an insurance agent from whoever you were getting insurance with? Do you know? I just wanted to make sure.
That it was a FEMA person.
Okay.
Thank Absolutely.
You. Okay.
And that's how he identified himself.
Okay. I have another question. That's it.
Okay. So, Mr. Wagner, just to be clear, do you have any other witnesses you wanted to call or anything final you wanted to say?
I have nothing else to request.
You're okay at this point?
We're okay.
Okay. Then I'm going to go quickly back to the county. So Mary Engel, on behalf of the county, anything final to the extent that, again, it's the county's burden in code enforcement. And so I do give the county a just final crack at telling me what they want to tell me.
I have nothing.
Okay. The one question I have is related to the signboard. Do we, Mary Engel, do we know maybe if there's I can get a photograph of it so that I have it in the record, a picture, or do we have The actual NOA from 2011, maybe not at this point, but
we'll send you a picture of it. We can do it right now.
Excellent. So all I'm asking, Mr. Wagner, just so my record is complete, we don't keep these big exhibits, okay? But I do want to have a photo of your signboard that you showed me. And so the county's going to take a photograph, a digital photograph of your signboard, and send it to me so I have it, okay?
I'm very glad you're not going to keep my signboard.
No, I don't. You can keep it as a souvenir. Okay, so we'll make sure I have that. But essentially, then the exhibits that I will be reviewing, ultimately, that have been included in the record today, were the C1 through C8. Those are the county exhibits. And then the signboard will be A1, as in appellants 1, and it'll be a photo, not the signboard itself, okay? So those are the exhibits. The only testimony came from Mr. Wagner and from Director Engel, and now it will be up to me, the hearing examiner, to produce a decision here in the next couple of weeks on this proposal, on this matter, not proposal. And so my intent is to produce a decision in the next couple weeks. And once that decision comes out, the county will ensure that you get a copy of that decision and that there's information on if you wanted to appeal it, if you're unhappy with the decision, et cetera. All that will hopefully be very clear. Okay?
That'll be funny.
Okay. So I think then we can conclude the meeting, unless Director Engel, nothing else from the county, we're set at this point.
You're good. I'm done.
I do have one thing. My wife is really concerned about the fine that the county has initiated, and I'd like to make sure that in the event that we overcome the county, that fine gets completely eliminated.
I can answer that if you'd like.
Go ahead, Director Engel.
So the original enforcement, or the enforcement order you received on August 17th, gave a certain timeline, but that timeline was only set if you didn't appeal. You've now appealed, and that stops that clock until this answer comes to us. So once Mr. Reeves provides for us his finding, then the county will either have to move forward with the enforcement order and meet with you and try to figure out how to gain compliance, or we will remove it and the county will try to work with you to figure out how to gain compliance through us. That's usually how it happens.
Director Engel, to be clear, if I rule in Mr. Wagner's favor, the Wagner's favor, there would not be a fine, correct?
That's correct.
So if you win the appeal, there is ultimately no fine. If you do not win the appeal, the fine has been sort of put on hold, you know, and once the decision comes out, then that's when the sort of potential fine period, all that begins. And I'll try to make it clear in my decision one way or the other, depending on what I decide. But your hope is you win, no fine. But there's no enforcement of a fine currently happening. All of that is sort of put on hold until my decision. Does that make sense, Mr. Wagner?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay. Well, then I think with that, we can conclude the hearing. County staff, if you can send the recording to my office when it's available, that would be great. And congratulations to the Wagners on the wedding anniversary, and to the county, obviously wish everyone safety and good health. I know we're entering the wild rainy season. So with that, we can conclude the meeting. But thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.